Welcome to the Watermark Church Podcast. Today we continue the series, Christmas at Watermark, Week 2, the Snowflake Sermon. Let's listen in.
I want to preface this sermon by saying this is a sermon. This is a sermon I preach every time this year during the season. This is the third time I'm preaching this message. So some of you are thinking this better be good because three shots, this is not right. But this is the reason why I do it. Number one is this. It's really easy to hear the message of Jesus Christ, what I'm about to say, because of grace. Because we're all sinful, and God's grace covers us all. And so if you came in here today, and it's your first time at a church, or maybe you said, I'm not a big church person, I've been pushed away, I'm telling you, listen, we are not in church today because we're perfect. We are here because we need a Savior, and we all need to be forgiven, and we're all dirty, and we're all in this boat together. Amen? And we all have situations. People always say all the time, like, I don't go to church because there's a bunch of hypocrites. Well, welcome. I mean, none of us are perfect. We all have stuff that we got to deal with. And it's interesting because we all need God's grace. And some people say, well, and that's just it. So that's number one. And number two is this. Not that it should be easy for us, but I want to provide ideas and illustrations for you to share yourself, to be able to share the love of Jesus Christ with somebody else. And that's why I use a lot of my own stories. That's why I use a lot of illustrations. A few months ago, I used that $20 bill, and I crumpled it up, and I spit on it, and I said, it's still worth $20. I do those things so when you're talking to somebody, you yourself can illustrate the importance you're worth and what God thinks about you. Today's sermon about snowflakes is an easy way for whenever there is snow to illustrate God's grace over all of our lives. Is that making sense? It's easy for you to share this. And so that's a few reasons why we do this. So let's pray and then get this started. Lord, thank you for each person in this room. As we sit here, there's people who have just started a journey with you, and there's people who've been on a journey with you for many years. But here's what we all need. This is what we all have in common. We all need more of you in our life. We can't do this alone. Lord, I just pray in Jesus' name in this season, Lord, help us not to run away from you, but to run towards you, to run towards the cross. Lord, I thank you for your forgiveness. Lord, I thank you for your covering. And Lord, help us this year, Lord, to make you the focus. Lord, I just pray you are the treasure. You are our goal. You are, Lord, the all in all. And Lord, help us to stay focused on the things of you. Lord, thank you for the new staff members. Thank you for, Lord, adding to our family. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. You can have a seat. We just announced Ben. It's Ben's birthday today too, by the way. So I think he just went out with the offering people. But when you see Ben, give him a big hug today. I think he turned 16 today, so that's pretty fun. Snowflakes are interesting because snowflakes have six sides on them. I'm going to get into some facts about snowflakes. Did you know that, I don't know how to pronounce this, chionophobia is actually the fear of snow. Like, can you imagine somebody who has that lives in Minnesota or someplace out, like where the snow is? Like, they have to live in Phoenix or someplace. Like, there's no way. The largest snowflakes ever recorded, this is astounding. The largest snowflakes ever recorded fell in the state of Montana, in the United States of America, of course. The snowflakes were 15 inches in diameter. Now, okay, I was just helping somebody out of the car, and a snowflake went in my eye. Like a little one. I was looking up in a snowflake, and I'm like, ah, you know what I'm saying? Can you imagine a 15-inch snowflake just hitting you right in the face? Can you imagine skiing and all of a sudden just get pummeled with 15, actually where this happened at, it was actually in the mountains, like way up. And I'll explain later why that happened. People are like, there's no way possible. Honestly, it happens because as the snow falls, it, you know, builds up, and then it gets sucked back up. And so it's just getting sucked back up, and it was building. But I just can't imagine a snowflake more than a foot wide. And then it says this. It says, the snow capital of the United States is a place called Stampede Pass in Washington State. Anybody ever been there before, Stampede Pass? I kind of want to go now. Each year, the average snowfall, get this, average is 430 inches. Yeah. Anybody, like, that's huge, right? Like, I'm sure no one just, it's probably just, I don't know how you leave. About 20% of the world's mass is covered permanently by snow. And the average snowflake falls at a speed of 3.1 miles per hour. Nothing, but there's nothing, listen, there's nothing like fresh snow. The snow I don't like is in the spring. You know that snert stuff? Like half dirt, half, you know what I'm saying? Where it's like a pile of dirty snow. Like that's just nasty. You walk into it and you chuck snowballs out at your kids that are full of dirt and they start bleeding. And am I the only one that does that? And we usually look at snow for its beauty, but it's also recreational purposes, skiing, snowboarding, all that kind of stuff. And even there's an ice castle going on downtown that's pretty awesome. And you know one last announcement: we're doing, Jim and I and our church is helping out with the Sticks in Stillwater that's coming up. There's a third week in January, second week in January, and we're gonna have a hockey Sunday here again. And Bill Butters is speaking that Sunday morning again. And so just so you guys know, starting this week, I'm going to make mention of this week, and starting next week, we're going to start pushing it pretty heavily. We need volunteers and everything, but we'll let you know more about that. But today's sermon is about snow. The Bible talks about snow, which is crazy, 22 times. And there are lessons that God has given us through this. But I just want to we're going to show a quick video in a little bit here, but I'm going to skip on that, but there's a video I want to show. Can you show that macro video, if you don't mind, the macro one? There's a guy by the name of Wilson Snowflake Bentley. And do you remember that time in your life that you realized that no snowflake is alike? Did you realize when you were a kid, like, oh, no two snowflakes are alike? Well, this guy named Wilson Bentley, who lived from 1865 to 1931 in Vermont, where there was a lot of snow in the winter, he was fascinated by snow. He found a way to put snowflakes on black velvet and photograph them. Testing the hypothesis that no two are exactly the same, he photographed and published more than 5,000, listen to this, 5,000 individual snowflakes, and today you can see his work at the Buffalo Museum of Science. Because of his obsession, Bentley was given the nickname Snowflake or Flaky. Bentley examined the snowflakes under a microscope and discovered that they were all miracles of beauty. Every crystal was a masterpiece of design, and no one design was ever repeated. Look at that. Not one design was ever repeated. And it's interesting because he wrote, when a snowflake melted, the design was forever lost. Think about that. When a snowflake melted, the design was forever lost. Just that much beauty was gone without leaving any record behind. I have personally experienced this miracle many times in my life, seeing a snowflake land on my coat, and then the design is gone. If I tried to catch a snowflake on my hand, it would melt away. His hypothesis was, just like life, no two people are alike, and when they pass away, God would never create that ever again. Psalm 139, verse 14 says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. Can you put that picture up of that black canvas, if you can? It's in my PowerPoints. It's interesting because here's an example of what he was doing, taking black canvas and taking pictures of snowflakes. It's interesting because in Psalms it says that you are different, that you are wonderfully made. And some people say, well, you are different. People say, well, if you're different, that means you're weird. I'm like, you're unique. And I think it's interesting because we live, I know growing up in middle school and high school, everybody wanted, I mean, if you were like me, growing up in the 80s and 90s, the coolest thing in Minnesota to have was a starter jacket. Anybody else have a starter jacket? Yeah. Isn't that sweet? Anybody remember the starter? I mean, anybody else? Yeah, the big pouch in the front and, you know what I'm saying? You zip on the sides, and they pull over. You didn't even have a zip in the front. Like, you just literally pulled it over, and everybody wore starter jackets. And it's cool because when I went to high school, the whole craze in high school was everybody wanted to be so different. Everybody was going to shop at thrift stores because everybody wanted to be different. And so everybody was going to shop at cheap stores and buy clothes that are different. And then I thought, the irony about that is everybody wanted to be different and shop at the different stores, but everybody started shopping the same, so you all became the same all over again. Isn't that interesting? And it's when you start thinking about this is that if you are just you, you are unique. Your personality, what you enjoy, how you even breathe, how you even talk, and all these things. I was on a radio like a few months ago, and I was listening to myself, and sometimes I listen to my sermons just to critique my own self. I'm like, isn't it just annoying to listen to yourself? You're like, oh, I'm like nasally and whiny, and you guys get to hear that every week. And it's interesting because when you think about all this, is that you are unique, and just like a snowflake, that we are different. And there is billions of people now living, and not one person is the same. We are distinct. And so a few things I want to say about snow. One is this. Even though each one is different, unique, there is a purpose to you, and there's a purpose to snow. I know outside you're going, what's the purpose of this? To make us go 25 miles an hour to churches more? What's the purpose? Check out this purpose, the purpose of snow. 1/3 of the world's water used for irrigation comes from snow. 1/3. You like your veggies and your fruit. You like the way, you know what I'm saying, the summer. You like spring. It needs the snow. In the western United States, nearly 75% water that we use for irrigation and different things comes from the snow. Isaiah 55:10 says this, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower. Snow brings life in the spring. Snow has more purpose than just looking pretty. Snow allows things to grow. No spring without winter. We need winter to have a resurrection in the spring. So the reason I say all this, because listen, just like a snowflake, you are uniquely, wonderfully made, and you were designed, hear me out, you were designed with a purpose, and you were designed on purpose. So when someone tells you you're an accident, they don't know scripture, and they don't know what God is saying, because you were designed with a purpose, and you were designed on purpose. And what's crazy is this, so many people. And if sometime I'm going to talk about seasons one Sunday morning or a series, because seasons are so important in our life. And I'm not just talking about, you know what I'm saying, when my kids are home, my kids are away, or all that kind of stuff. I'm talking about just seasons in life, because we have summer, we have fall, we have winter, you know what I'm saying, then we have spring. But I'm telling you, a lot of people feel like, even emotionally, you're just saying, Jarvis, you don't understand, I just feel like I'm in this cloud of winter. I almost feel just this depressed, and I just have anxiety. And I'm telling you, listen, some things in life are just a season. And if you handle your season right, there is going to come a spring and a resurrection in the spring coming. Is that making sense? And if you look at a farmer, I have a farmer friend up in Brainerd. His name is Tony Nelson, and he's the one who taught me this. He says, every season has a purpose. Joseph had a dream. But because he knew his dream, he also had to know his seasons. And so what Tony taught me was this. Every season for the farmer is important. We love to celebrate the fall and the harvest time. But listen, you can only have a harvest if you have a good summer, a good spring, and a good winter. Because you have spring that comes, and you got the ground going, and you're watering, and you're putting the seeds in, and all of a sudden summer's here, and you're watering, and things are growing, and all of a sudden you got harvest time and a fall, and you're taking all the crops in. And people say, what good is the winter? If you don't have the winter, when do you get your tools ready? And that's what he was saying to me. He says, we work on our machines. We get stuff ready for the season. It's our season. It's our prepping time. And listen, at Watermark, one of the things we do in January is that we unplug. A lot of people fast from media. A lot of people fast from, you know, we just pray. We unplug because it's our season to just dive into the Lord really heavy so we can get ready for the seasons that God has for us. Is that making sense? And I think what's interesting about it is that there's a purpose. And so you are a work in process. You are not a finished product. And some people say, I just don't know if I enjoy myself. I just don't like what. Listen, it says in Scripture that God is molding you. That doesn't say that you're already in the fire. It says that he's molding you and he's shaping you, that you are a workmanship of the Lord, that you're not a finished product, that God is still working and tweaking, and he's molding you around. And so you are not done. The other thing about snow is this. There is power in the snow. Check this out. The tiny snowflake flutters as it falls, 3.1 miles per hour. It seems so insignificant and helpless. It cannot defy even a child. My kids were walking today, stepping on snow, and they're demolishing it. Little tiny feet, even my littlest one. But it is a different matter when it unites with countless millions of other snowflakes. First, they cover the ground with beautiful mantle of white. Then they pile higher and higher. The wind gathers them with huge drifts. Think about this. You guys see that picture on the national news today about that apartment in North Dakota this past week? This lady lives in, North Dakota's windy. There's snow pretty good there. She opened up her front door of her apartment, and literally there was snow above her door, and there was like numbers on her door, and the imprint was in the snow. Not that the snow was that high, it's because it blew it all in front of her door. Like, she couldn't get out unless she went out the back door. Think about this. Snowflakes, as my little Sadie was walking in, she was just stepping on them. They weren't holding her back. She was just stepping on them, and they were all eating snow on the way in. You know what I'm saying? But yet, on the way here, you guys were swerving in the snow. The wives were yelling at the husbands to slow down. And when I got here this morning, there was tractors, big trucks, moving the snow around so we can park. Think about this for a second. The light, delicate things has no power until they all come together. And once they come together, it takes tractors to move them. It's interesting because more of us say, well, what does that mean? There's a quote that says this, each snowflake in an avalanche pleads not guilty. I'm not the one who started it. Each snowflake says, I did not cause the avalanche. Christians, I love this quote, Christians, like snowflakes, are frail, but when they stick together, they can stop traffic. Isn't that interesting? And I think it's interesting because together we can do good. The next one is this, and this is how we're going to close in a few more minutes, purity in snow. So there's power in snow, and then there's a purpose in snow. But this is where we're going to hit it today. There's purity in snow. Snow has a cleansing effect, for instance, on the atmosphere, sometimes called the washout or snow out. Snow is actually formed around, in the atmosphere, a tiny particles. And I'm going to show you a quick video. I think it's called The Chemistry of Snow. And I just want you to watch this video, and then we're going to talk about it after this video. So if you can start that video, that'd be great.
The snowflake might be the world's favorite symbol of winter. These surprisingly complex and beautiful shapes are made of ice, nature's simplest hydrogen-bonded crystal. But how are these delicate structures formed? No two snowflakes form in the exact same way. But here's a possible set of steps. A snowflake starts as a dust grain floating in a cloud. Water vapor in the air sticks to the dust grain, and the resulting droplet turns into ice. Crystal faces appear on the frozen droplet. Then, a prism forms with six faces and a top and a bottom. A cavity forms in each prism face because ice grows fastest near the edges. Faster growth on the corners causes six branches to sprout. The lines in each branch are due to ridges and grooves on the surface. These six branches form the corners of a hexagon, which forms into this shape because the water molecules chemically bond into a hexagonal network. When the temperature cools to 9 degrees Fahrenheit, new growth at the branch tips narrow. At 6 degrees, side branches begin to sprout. Suddenly, the crystal encounters a quick blast of warmer air, followed by cooler air, and even more side branches sprout. The crystal gradually warms, making the tips long and narrow. The crystal falls into even warmer air, which slows the growth and widens the tips. Finally, this unique and delicate structure falls to the earth, along with countless other snowflakes. The old saying that no two snowflakes are alike may be true for larger snowflakes, but not for smaller, simpler crystals that fall out of the sky at earlier stages, before they've had a chance to fully develop. Still, their ever-changing environment and the many ways that H2O can bond on the crystal's surface means that snowflakes can have a mind-boggling array of shapes. But they have one thing in common. They are all easy on the eyes.
Think about this. Once you catch it, I'm going to read this. Let's start at the beginning. Before snowflake can start to form, water has to work its way into the sky by evaporating from the lakes, rivers, and oceans, transpiring from the plants. Breathing also does a trick. Once water vapor is in the air, it starts to condense around dust particles as the air cools down, forming countless tiny water droplets, each centered around the particle of dust. Gathered all together, these floating dust droplets make up a cloud. Then, if the air continues cooling, that's when you get what happened. Scientists have discovered that every snowflake has a tiny piece of dust or dirt at its core. The beautiful and unique crystals that develop around the core create a stunning architecture of flakes that each snowflake has six sides. The flakes are a marvel. Every snowflake, if you think about it, has a dirty heart. All snowflakes have one thing in common, dirt at its core. Just like snowflakes, we all have sin nature at the core of our being. But by grace, God transformed a dirty speck into a beautiful snowflake. What's interesting, my wife and I were just talking about this yesterday. Isn't it amazing how grace, but love, covers a multitude of sins? Isn't that amazing? Love covers. When was the last time? Think about this. Every snowflake starts as a speck of dirt. And God says he formed us out of clay and out of dirt. I mean, he formed us out of dirt, and just in that dirtiness that God makes us new. And I think it's interesting because so many of us really didn't realize, and I talked about this last week, you know, that cold, dark manger where Jesus first resided in, even our own hearts become mangers. And you think, well, it's not perfect. Listen, God can take up residence in a manger that's cold and dusty and dirty and full of stuff. But listen, that's how it works. But when was the last time you looked outside and woke up and saw snow falling and said, look at all those dust particles? Right? Think about that. When was the last time you ever said, wow, that's really dirty coming down? The most amazing thing about it is, I'm going to read this. It says this. It says, I can have the worship team up here. Like snowflakes, we have been beautifully created. Think about this. You, yourself, you and your kids, you and the person you don't like, you are beautifully created by God. We are the greatest of all God's creation. We are his pride, we are his joy, and like snowflakes, we are all created uniquely. Yet, like snowflakes, we, all of us, including me, are born with dirty hearts. We are marked by sin. We are all stained by the core of our being. We're all dirty someplace in the middle. But through Jesus Christ, we can all be made clean. The dirt at the core of your being can be washed away, and we can become pure in Jesus Christ. Snow gives us a picture of being covered and cleansed, and when we confess our sins, come to the Lord who is gracious to forgive us, we are covered by God's holiness, we are blanketed in his righteousness, and we are made clean by the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. Like a snowflake, Jesus came down and covered our dirty hearts and made us clean. And this is why Isaiah 1:18 is such an amazing scripture, because it says, come now, let us somehow reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, even though they're red, your sins, even though they're just stained, they shall be white as snow. That's amazing. Even though your sins and mistakes and everything you do is red and tarnished and you're rusty and you make mistakes, he says, because of my grace, because of my love abounding, and because I came, I cover you. I blanket you with my grace and my love and who I am. There's a thing I read a few years ago, and it's called The Meaning of a Snowflake. This is awesome. The Meaning of a Snowflake. It says this. Every new snowflake comes to earth is a picture of our Savior's birth. Because they are sent from above and remind us of God's care and love. Each one is so intricate and small because Christ sees all the details of us all. And just as two are never the same, the Lord knows and calls us each by name. Snowflakes gently cover the world in white and hide what's unlovely from our sight, showing us he covers our sin and he gives us his grace when we come to him. So may every snowflake bring Christ to mind, and in every bit of white may you find a reason to celebrate anew and a reminder of his love for you. How awesome is that?
Thanks for listening. Join us next week as we continue the series, Christmas at Watermark.